Today I'd like to talk about the real Mary of the Bible. The most second most misunderstood person in the Bible is not a man, it's a woman. It's Mary. And she is misunderstood primarily because of Catholic teachings. Millions of people around the world pray to Mary in heaven, and she's not there. The present Pope is very much involved in Marianism. I've spoken about that numerous times in the past. The worship of Mary has greatly aided in the Marian by the Marian apparitions in a small town called Medjugorje in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This town is populated by ethnic Croats who are staunch Catholics. The Marian apparitions began there in the last century. The first one allegedly happened in 1981. On June 24th, several young people experienced the apparition on a daily basis. The form that they saw, touched, and conversed with, though no one else around could, revealed itself as the Virgin Mary. And the young visionaries, now adult individuals, also claim to have received from Mary 10 secrets concerning the future of the world. They also claim to have received from Mary, jumped the line. At the very beginning of the apparition, the Virgin presented herself saying, "I am the Queen of Peace." Catholics are looking to Mary to bring peace to the world. Thousands and thousands of Catholics every year go there to worship at the place where they saw the vision. There are five major errors concerning the worship of Mary. Number one, the Immaculate Conception. This is the doctrine that Mary, though she was conceived naturally, not a virgin birth for her, she was conceived naturally, was nonetheless, from the moment of conception, free from the stain of original sin. This is entirely a Catholic invention. The Bible says nothing to that effect. It was invented because of sex is dirty idea, so they came up with this Immaculate Conception for Mary. Number two, Mary was a perpetual virgin. The Bible makes it very clear she was not. Not only did she have other children, but she had at least six of them after Jesus Christ. The third area, Mary is in heaven. The Bible shows that she's dead and buried, waiting the resurrection. Mary is not in heaven. She's in the grave. So once again, millions of people are praying to a person in heaven who just isn't there. A couple of errors that sometimes can be made in the Church of God. The last two of the five major errors concerning Mary. If Mary did not have an Immaculate Conception, if she was not a perpetual virgin, and if she's not up in heaven, surely the righteous woman that she was at least converted. She was not converted. We'll look at that later during this message. And the fifth error that we can see as often make as members of the Church of God is this. If she was not converted, at least we could say Mary supported Jesus Christ in his work. We would be wrong again with that answer. Mary was opposed to Christ's ministry. I got pages stuck together. Let's look at Mary as she was in the scripture. First of all, let's take a look at Mary's background. For the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, It could not have been just any righteous virgin at that time. When we read of Mary as a righteous virgin, it does not necessarily mean there were not other righteous virgins in Israel. There may have been many young girls who were dedicated and devoted to God. To be the one chosen by God, you not only had to be especially righteous, you had to have something else. You would have had to have the royal bloodline, because Jesus Christ had to be a descendant as the future king of the world from David's line, according to the prophecies. Both Mary and Joseph had royal blood, and they were descended from King David. Joseph was descended from David's son Solomon, and Mary was descended from David's son Nathan. Not Nathan the prophet, but a son of David. Mary is obviously a unique individual because she is the only person in history to give birth as a virgin. So we understand, as we understand, to the Messiah of God. Let us take a look now, having understood her background, at a little bit of the physical life of Mary. Many people would think to be the mother of Jesus Christ would involve a life of total bliss. After all, you had the Messiah for your son, and you walked around, both of you, with a halo over your head, and Mary was free from original sin, so probably she was walking 2 or 3 inches above the ground. Certainly, there were moments of great happiness, but there were many trials that Mary had to go through simply because she became the mother of the Messiah. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, so we can understand the true Mary of the Bible, the real Mary, so different from the Mary that the Catholics teach in this world. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The sixth month here refers to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. Verse 27. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said unto her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now let's notice carefully the next three verses. They are explicit. Verse 31, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Verse 32, "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Verse 33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." These three verses make it absolutely clear that the angel was talking about the Messiah. You would think, therefore, for the next 33 and a half years, Mary would never doubt in her mind who she gave birth to. But Mary was a human being like the rest of us. We all have doubts, we all have questions, and Mary did also have those later on. Satan would put doubts in her mind time and time again, as clear from the Bible, that she did not fully understand her son Jesus Christ and his messiahship. Let's drop to verse 46. Mary rejoiced before the Lord. She was a willing servant of God, handmade for the eternal. She said in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord." 47, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She understood it at that time, but she wasn't able to hang on to it with a firmer grip for long term. All generations certainly called Mary blessed, but many, many generations over the past 2,000 years have deified her in something that she is not, because she is not yet deified. She will be at the resurrection. Verse 56, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her house. We read in the initial scripture that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant already. So Mary stayed with her the last 3 months of her pregnancy. So when Elizabeth delivered John the Baptist, she was there to help. So when Gabriel appeared to her, Mary, he said, you shall bring forth a son. Immediately after that, Jesus Christ emptied himself of the Godhead and entered into the womb of Mary as that little speck of beginning of human life. So we put these scriptures together and we see that Jesus Christ was born 6 months after the birth of John the Baptist. So all the indications here are, by the time Mary returned home, she was 3 months pregnant. She may not have been showing at the point, but given a month or so, she would be showing. She was espoused to Joseph. That means she had agreed to marry Joseph. He had proposed to her, and she had agreed, and they had a legal binding covenant. What do we think was the reaction of relatives when Mary began to show her pregnancy upon her return? The assumption was, obviously, that while she'd been away from home, she had committed fornication. Let's now turn to Matthew chapter 1. Please remember that all that we say of Mary today is in contrast to what the Catholics think and teach. Mary was a righteous individual. She was certainly, most certainly, a Proverbs 31 woman. She did not understand many of the things that took place in her life, far from being a life of total joy and happiness as the mother of God, mother of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's certain that Mary had joy at Gabriel's message. She had the joy of witnessing and helping with the birth of John the Baptist. But now the troubles began. She had to return home, showing stages of her pregnancy. Undoubtedly, question was on her mind. What would my relatives think? What would my beloved Joseph think? Who would believe her as a young woman that an angel of God happened to her and told her something that never before happened in the history of mankind, that she would give birth to a Savior and do it by a virgin birth? Nobody believed that. Joseph didn't believe it either, if she had tried to tell him. Perhaps in the wisdom, she didn't even try to tell him. But now her reputation was sealed because she knew what the local gossip would be when she returned home. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly so nobody necessarily would know. Joseph, like everyone else, had made the logical assumption. They didn't think, oh, to be a virgin and pregnant, how wonderful. They said, what did you do when you left home? Joseph's assumption quite clearly that he was going to put her away, though secretly, that she had committed fornication. So imagine the emotional trauma Mary was going through at this time, to be found guilty when she was really innocent. To be afraid that she would lose the love of the man she was so enchanted with, because Joseph was obviously a very special individual. But God at some point intervened for her. Verse 20, but while he thought of these things, Joseph, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. So the angel is addressing Mary here as already being the wife of Joseph. Go ahead and take her. But Luke 2, beginning of verse 1, Jesus Christ was her first child. To her, he was still special because of the message that had been given to her by Gabriel. Like any woman having her first child, she would want the best circumstances for that. We find in Luke 2, the taxing of the Roman world came about, and Joseph, verse 4, was forced to go to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, under Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. First, her plans were to have the baby at home, the home that Joseph had built to her, built for her, or bought for her, were shattered because of the events that began to take place. In her last month of pregnancy, she was forced into a difficult circumstance to make a trip. Rather than have the baby at home and be comfortable and be able to show it to the relatives, she had to go down to Bethlehem for it to be born again in fulfillment of God's prophecy. Now the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And the shepherds, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. The shepherds had been notified by an angel where to go and what they were going to see when they got there. Of all those who heard it, marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't say, naturally the angel told the truth, I've given birth to the Messiah. She wondered about it. What does this mean? She questioned it. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So now, then we see how he was guided to the temple, pushed by the Spirit. These are times when the God's Spirit works with us and puts us in certain situations. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and the parents brought in the Christ child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And the next three verses, again, clearly a prophecy of Messiah. Verse 30 through 32. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They should have said, well, naturally, that's right. We heard it from Gabriel. But they marveled. We would expect them to say, this is so obvious. But instead, they were amazed. Verse 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the rise and falling of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own heart or your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword shall pierce through your own soul also. And it was to do that at the crucifixion. But there would be an emotional moment for Mary during her life when it would be very similar to a sword piercing through it. After their visit to Jerusalem to present a sacrifice at the birth of the child, because Bethlehem was not that far away, they returned home to Nazareth. In verse 11, we have a reference to their home. And when they had brought him into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. This is talking about the wise men. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This was possibly a year after Christ's birth. They referred to the wise men, the magi that came in. And the modern Christian teaching is that there were three of them because there were three gifts. It's pretty obvious that three wasn't the proper number. The Bible does not say how many. These magi were representatives of the lost tribes of Israel that saw the star and came down, for Israel was kept in captivity around the Caucasus area of the Middle East. Verse 12 and 13, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the child to kill him, to destroy him. They'd only just briefly returned to Nazareth for a few months, and they got this wonderful visit from the wise men, and the result of that visit and the talk that they had had with Herod trying to find where the Messiah was supposed to be born. And Herod said, come back and tell me where they are. As a result of all this, now Herod was seeking the life of the child because he recognized him as a fulfillment of a certain prophecy in the Old Testament about the one who in his mind could take over his throne. So now after going to Bethlehem for the birth of the child, returning home, being there a short time, now they were forced to another hardship, an immigration to another country. Perhaps they had no contact with their relatives during that time, and Jesus Christ might have been 3 to 5 years old when they came back. Verse 19, and when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. For some period of time, they had to live in exile from their homeland. Verse 21 and 22. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father, he was afraid. So Mary and Joseph were still afraid for the life of their son. Verse 23 and 24. Being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. So far we've seen that Mary's life is far from total bliss. She didn't have an engagement. She was suspected of fornication. Her reputation was tarnished in the eyes of her loved one, also friends and relatives. She had a forced trip the last month of her pregnancy. After her visit to Jerusalem, Simeon told her of a future hardship she would have to go through. She had a short-lived return to her home in Nazareth. Then she was forced to emigrate to Egypt. Finally, they were able to return to Nazareth, and we may wonder whether their troubles were finally over. But they were not. She obviously got many blessings from God by being a righteous woman. But it definitely not been really good for her, as you can see all the moves and all the shakeups. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 40. We're jumping back and forth a little bit, trying to maintain a chronological order. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41 to 45, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days As they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother did not know it, but assumed that he had been with the company. They went a day's journey, and then they looked for him and saw him among their relatives and acquaintance. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Obviously, the next day, they traveled all day. They weren't going to go back in the night. They were in a state of anxiety, which possibly developed into a panic by the third day. Now, if they fully understood who Christ was, they would have known there was absolutely nothing to worry about. God in heaven is his Father. He's not going to let anything happen to Jesus Christ. So they went back, another day's travel, and then searching around Jerusalem on the third day. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." They were fearful that Jesus may have been killed. But Jesus' response, verse 49, he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" No, they didn't really understand. Verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to him. You see, their minds were not fully open to the truth of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ was and what his work was. Verse 51. Then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. After the age of 12, very shortly thereafter, there was another great trial for Mary, a further hardship for her as the mother of Jesus Christ. Widowhood. There was no more record of Joseph in the Bible after that age of 12 of Jesus Christ. It forced Jesus to be the breadwinner, so to speak, of the house. He now had at least 6 brothers and sisters to take care of, and he was the elder brother. Great responsibility was on his shoulders because his physical father was dead. And it was another trial that came on Mary just because she was the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, beginning of verse 16, Christ's ministry. He decided to begin his ministry in his hometown. Grew up in Nazareth with the people there. He loved the people there and wanted to give them a first opportunity to hear the word of God as he began his ministry. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Other places in Galilee and where he had worked are not mentioned, but this one is because it was obviously special to Jesus. So he came to them, as it turns out, on a day of Pentecost. He began to quote something from Isaiah, and then he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," saying that he was the one to whom Isaiah referred to. Well, obviously, that didn't go over well with the people who watched the little Jesus grow up to be a man. "Who in the world do you think you are? What egotism?" Verse 28 and 29. "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff." They were so mad at Jesus Christ, whom they all knew well since he'd grown up in Nazareth, but they now wanted to kill him. Well, God's time was such that he was going to preserve Jesus Christ in verse 30 and 31. "Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way, and he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee." Can we imagine the effects on Mary? The good possibility that her and the rest of the children, were in the synagogue. And when the hierarchy in the synagogue got up and grabbed him and forced him out of the temple and took him to the cliff to throw him off, They were witnesses. They were there. They saw it happen. When they heard why their neighbors tried to kill him because of the crazy things that Jesus has started to preach, we're going to see that far from supporting the work of Jesus Christ, Mary opposed it. Not in animosity, but in maternal love for her son, because she didn't understand fully what he was doing. When Mary heard these events in her hometown, it must have been around a time of terrible embarrassment for her. Many of the people in the surrounding community certainly ostracized Mary and her family. You know, what kind of son did you bring in this world? He comes back claiming to be the Messiah. We saw him when he was a little boy and watched him grow up. Who in the world does he think he is? Mark chapter 3. And when his own people heard this, they went out to lay hands on him, for they said, he's out of his mind. His own people means his kinsmen, relatives, mothers, brothers, and sisters. He was preaching, and they tried to stop him from what he was doing. Jesus has gone crazy. We've got to stop him before he gets himself killed. Verse 31-32, then his brothers and mother came and stood outside. Standing outside, they sent to him calling. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Why were they seeking him? They wanted to take him home to protect him. And he answered them and saying, who was my mother and my brothers? This must have been a rejection of a certain extent to Mary if she heard it. Verse 34, and he looked around in a circle with all those that sat around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Mary was righteous, and she tried to obey God, but she was not converted at this time. Verse 35, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Many people believed in Christ, but they didn't believed on Christ, but did not believe in Christ. They didn't believe what he said. Mark chapter 6. A year or so after Jesus visited Nazareth and had nearly been killed, he went back for a second try. By this time, a year or so had passed, and his ministry, his reputation was much more firmly established because of the miracles he'd done. At this time, he didn't come alone. He brought a following with him. He brought his disciples, Mark 6, verse 1. And then he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. He wanted to give his own people of Nazareth another chance. He probably felt in his mind that now, after a year or so, that people could see many people healed from the miracles he had performed, and there, here are people following me. Maybe they would reconsider. But many hearing him were astonished again. Who does he think he is? Verses 2 and 3. When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many people hearing him were astonished. Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that many such mighty works are performed in his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, Jose, Judas, and Simeon, not his sisters also here with us? And they were offended at him. So they were offended a second time. Verse 3 proves clear that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Four brothers, four sons mentioned, and then sisters. She had at least six other children besides Jesus. Verse 5, Jesus was terribly disappointed. He could do no mighty work. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He was still unable to get through to those people what message that he had. John chapter 4:7, beginning verse 1, this made life very difficult for Mary and the rest of his family. He was, to an extent, the black sheep. and caused all kinds of trouble at home. His family on occasion would challenge him and be cynical with him and critical of him. John chapter 7, getting towards the end of Christ's ministry in verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. So he stayed out of Judea. Now the Jews feasted the tabernacles at hand, and his brothers challenged him. His brothers said unto him, depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you are doing. And he knew that he was avoiding, they knew he was avoiding Judea and staying in Galilee because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Depart from here and go up to Judea, that your disciples may see the works that you're doing. Verse 4, for no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. And that, brethren, includes not just brothers and sisters, but evidently involved to a certain extent Mary, if she did not fully understand his messiahship. In summary to this point, we've seen that Mary's reputation was tarnished, four circumstances that she had to travel, forced to emigrate for fear of their lives, widowed early in life, and could not understand many of Jesus Christ's actions. Mary's life was far from total bliss. The stigma of fornication stayed with her all her days, not just in the locality of Nazareth. Let's notice John chapter 8, beginning verse 40. Jesus said to the Pharisees, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then the Jews and Pharisees of Jerusalem during the early life of Jesus Christ, who during the early life of Christ were total strangers to him, said, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Where did they get this fornication bit? They had heard of Jesus' faith. They wondered, who is this person? How does he do these miracles? They obviously sent some of their men to his hometown to establish his background, and the gossip was still floating around. Then, of course, Mary was there for the final blow. In John 19, beginning verse 25, the day when the sword really pierced her heart. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing with her, he said, woman, behold your son. And he said to his disciple, obviously, John, behold your mother. And from that time, the disciple took her into his old home. Perhaps under her grief, Mary had a sense of her son's ultimate victory. And her sense of his ultimate victory may be indicated by what took place in Acts chapter 1. Jesus gave Mary into the hands of John, not into the hands of one of his brothers, an indication that Jesus intended Mary now to be brought into the church with the disciples. But as it turns out, not only Mary, but some of his relatives as well. We find in Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus said to Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So at that point in time, obviously, Peter was not converted. The Holy Spirit walked with them as they walked with Christ, but was not yet in them. Acts 1, verse 13, 14. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At long last, his brothers did turn to Jesus Christ along with his mother. When I say Mary did not understand her son Jesus, we need to realize that that was nothing really special. Thousands of people who followed Jesus Christ and saw his miracles and heard his preaching did not really believe he was the Messiah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. We read the Gospels assuming everyone who saw the miracles had to believe he was who he was. It is not the case. In Mark, he said twice that their hearts were hardened. They supported him, they loved him, but they still do not understand everything that he said because their hearts were hardened. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, "Who do men the Son of Man?" He had performed many miracles in the country. He'd asked the disciples what the people were saying. Were they saying that Jesus Christ had to be the Messiah? No. The Jewish concept of this Messiah was only about one coming, not two. Not the Lamb of God and then the Lion of Judah. They thought he was coming in great power to deliver them from Rome. They didn't believe in his first coming as a meek servant. It was not their concept. Verse 15, 16, 17, he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Mary was brought to conversion, was able, brought into God's church and supported God's work at the end. This is the real Mary, a Mary who suffered great trials and hardships. And Mary, and the, I got a little bit of information from another site just as I was putting this thing together. We need to be careful not to mix the truth of God with Christian pagan traditions. For example, the Bible refers to Mary and her son Jesus several times in Matthew as a young child and his mother, verses 13, 14, 20, and 21. But this should not be blended in with the mother and son duals that were worshipped in pagan cultures. These include Isis and Horus of Egypt, Ishtar and Tammuz of Babylon, Venus and Adonis of Rome, Astra and Baal and Phoenicia. These pagan gods and goddesses did not have anything to do with Mary and her son Jesus Christ. Satan likes to counterfeit biblical truth with pagan traditions, such as pagan gods and goddesses, but God hates the blending of the false pagan religion and idolatry with the true religion of the Bible. An angel once told the Apostle John, who had started bowing down to that angel. The angel said, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Mary would have told them the same thing. Don't worship me, worship God.